Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a better Muslim, purify my soul. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Satan. And I submit totally, God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness. And it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard. But I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none. Just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say. But I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real. And help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm going to win. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family. And the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me. Feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I sign Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fruit, it's in my blood for show. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. You're killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is this because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knots. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trials. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen, amen.
And in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his last messenger. And of course, I bear witness to the fact that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in these very trying times. And it is in their names that I greet all of you in the listening audience, those of you who are already in the chat room and on the phones, in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And it is also my dearest, dearest pleasure to present our host tonight, our brother who stands strong and firm in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and who gives us so much of himself and has given so much of himself for over the past 40 years, one who loves our minister and loves his people and loves this mission, Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Once again, it is my great privilege and pleasure to talk with the listening audience as well as the audience participating online and, of course, hear you, be with you, and whoever would like to join in on this show. Tonight, first of all, let me begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but He. And we thank Him for making His presence known to us through the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messiah, the exalted Christ, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. We want to thank Allah and the Christ for that one whom they fashioned and shaped and prepared. I want to be quite clear in my opening salutation as relates to or refers to these men. The Mahdi, Master Farad Muhammad, Allah God in person, made his appearance to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, July 4th, 1930, to declare not only that God was present, but that God was, is, and shall always be a man. The titles that he wore, as it is related to us in point number 12 of what the Muslims believe, were the titles of Messiah of the Christian and Mahdi of the Muslim. Now, these were titles that he wore because he was those and some, but these are not the sum total titles that express him, his power, his presence, his significance. He is, in fact, the Lord of the world, the supreme being. And the titles of Mahdi, Messiah, and Christ, well, Messiah and Christ in particular, were titles that he wore until he could find one that he could make all up into himself, and then that one would now wear the titles of Messiah and Christ. He did, in fact, find that one, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, whom we refer to as messenger, referred, past tense, as messenger. And now, currently, we refer to him as Messiah and exalted Christ. But I want to update our language as it refers to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Messenger, as the most honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us and teaches us, is one of his lesser titles in the initial stage of his great work of the resurrection of the dead, the mental resurrection of the mentally and spiritually dead black man and woman of America. but he has been exalted from that position and work of messenger. You see, he's now Messiah and exalted Christ, and one who is Lord of all, God of all, as it relates to this particular universe. He was conferred that power by the Supreme Being who lifted him and raised him and put him in power over everything in the universe with the exception of himself. He, in fact, in the position of Christ, has his own Messiah who is the most, or the honorable, or he's most honorable as far as I can see among us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So I, to update us, to bring us current in terms of the titles, we're not wrong in saying he's Messenger Messiah and Exalted Christ. But in terms of him being the last messenger, let's look at that. Allah God says in the Quran that everything in creation is a word from him, which means that everything in creation is delivering or can deliver a message from God. The question is creation stagnant, static, or is it dynamic? That is to say, is it continually growing and moving and evolving? Well, we have to say from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message that the universe is dynamic. It's not standing still. And so as such, there are new creations coming out of this universe at the hand of that one of whom the scripture says, behold, I make all things new. And in the new creation of a new universe, there are messages coming out from those aspects of creation. Now, I want to also look at the word prophet. The Muslim world, and we agree, referred to Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah as the seal of the prophet. We agree with him that he seals up the presence and appearance of prophets because that or those in whose presence we are blessed to be in now are not prophets, although they have the power of prophecy, but they are the manifestations on different levels of the presence and power of Almighty God Allah. So there's no need, after Prophet Muhammad, there was and is no need for any more prophets. But there will always be messages coming out from the universe for our study. Even in the new creation, the new Jerusalem, as we're taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, there will be stages of development, evolution, growth, different levels of achievement of perfection. Yes. Which means that they'll always be learning, and learning from messages that come from the God of the creation. So when we refer to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it is proper according to our instruction found in the supreme wisdom that we must speak the language in the past, present, and future perfect tense, to refer to him either as Messiah and or exalted Christ. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can be referred to as messenger, but look at him now. He's not to remain there. He's been evolved to be a Messiah himself, the Messiah of the Christ. Yes. I would like to offer these points as points of study, because as we begin to understand the growth and development, the position of those whom we follow and that one who we worship, then in that understanding, I'm not saying that I have arrived there. Don't misunderstand me. But in that understanding, we begin to see our potential. And we can see our own growth and development and movement towards levels of perfection. Thank you for allowing me to say that. And I want to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
And, wa alaikum salam.
And dear Queen Aziza, are there any who are joining us as panelists tonight?
Brother Kareem is on. I'm not clear about what position he's in. I know he was working, but his mic is live. Brother Kareem, are you with us?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, I am.
Walaikum
salam. Walaikum salam.
Yeah, I was able to get to the house, and I wanted to get my scripture out before I opened my mouth.
Yes. I always like to have my brother. I always like to have my brother by my side. My sister, too. So they're like permanent. Permanent. I hate to say fixtures. But permanent co-hosts on my show. Not my show, but I'm the host of the show. But they're permanent co-hosts, inshallah. And our dear sister assists us in the engineering department. I have been teaching and preaching a lot on this show. Some may say, well, when, Brother James, are you going to invite some of the knowledgeable and scholarly guests that you had in the past invited? We're going to return to that. In fact, I was talking to one this evening, our Brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad, the author of the book On the Wheel. We'd like to get him back perhaps next week. Also, there are others. I want to offer to you an explanation to why I have been preaching a lot. I know I don't have to, but in all humility, I want to offer that explanation. This is my rostrum. This is my platform that Allah blessed me to have to preach. As any minister or student minister, that is, over a city or over a region or over an area, they predominantly speak every week. Well, by the grace of Allah, this is my rostrum, extended to me by Allah through our beloved sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad, for whom I am eternally grateful. And so I'm preaching. As other students in the ministry will oversee these priests. But that does not mean that I'm not going to go back to inviting people on. I certainly am. But I have an obligation as a student in the ministry to defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and to preach the message that he has given us, as he has referred to some of us as polyparrots in the ministry. As he was to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he preached and repeated what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught him and others, and I, by the grace of Allah, wish to be a polyparrot to him to repeat what he is teaching to the students, and a little further to go into the study in more depth. That's my obligation as a student. That's how I interpret my being a student to him. And if I'm in error or mistaking, then I'm sure he will correct me. And then there's some of you who are out there who are scholarly enough to correct me. But I wanted to offer that explanation to our wonderful, wonderful audience. And next week, we're going to bring in, inshallah, our brother Ilya Rashad Muhammad, who is also a member of the research team of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But having said that, let's turn the mic over to our brother and student in the ministry, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem. You have the mic.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Wa alaikum salam. And I want to thank you. As always, I must open in the correct manner, which is in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, indeed the Messiah, the Exalted Christ. And in the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our divine reminder, he who carries the mantle of Masih or Messiah in our midst. If you want to see Jesus walking and talking, fulfilling the scripture that you read and study, all you got to do is look. In their names, I greet everyone again with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum. And you know,
alaikum salam again, brother.
I want to say this. When I was a little junior FOI, I'm talking about 9, 10 years old, and it had to have been, because, you know, sometimes I go to be with my grandmother and them, and, of course, they would take me and my younger brother to church because they was, you know, they was going to Jesus that Muslim up out of us. That's what they used to say. And I, for whatever reason, I came home one day, and in our home, we had a huge, my mother still has this picture, huge picture of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we're talking back in the 60s now. And I had to have been saying something about Jesus, or maybe I heard a song in the church or something. Anyway, my mother, like she used to always do when she wanted to correct, she snatched me in my collar, pulled me in the living room, pointed to that picture of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. She said, "Look here, boy, that's your Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a little boy. So, you know, it is not surprising or shocking. And yes, as you were talking earlier, we must express ourselves in the correct terminology. As you said, I mean, for if no other reason, so that we can understand the potential that is there for us. It's when you mentioned, you were talking about the term messenger. For all the believers, if you don't think that my brother is on point, go back to the problem book. And I believe it's, and you read and study, don't just read, study Problems 31 and 32. It talks about the 12 scientists meeting in the home of Islam and sending a messenger. Who were they referring to at that time as a messenger? See, I'm not going to answer the question. You think about it. But I
am
so glad.
Good point there, brother. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. See, and it couldn't be talking about the most humble as Muhammad because he wasn't sent. He was raised. So, But I'm going to, like I say, we have to study. As you say, it said we have to study to show ourselves approved. Approved of what? Approved of learning. We running around talking about we are gods. We got to show ourselves approved of even being able to wear that title. We have to be on point today. This is why there is lack of success in our raising the dead. Not completely, but we should be so much further along. And the one thing that will help us in that is by following the instructions that have been given to us and are continually given to us. Right in our face, we have the perfect example of what a student is. Student grows from being a student to a minister, to, yes, a Messiah.
Right.
That is what we have. You know, so I am, again, very humbled and very grateful. Thank you, brother, for allowing me on the program that Allah has blessed you to host. And always I thank Queen Aziza for the opportunity she has given us and given me in particular to be able to serve in this manner. So I'm going to, with that, that'll be my opening statement. And then whatever we're going to get into, we're going to get into it, and we will share, and I will learn because I always learn. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Very, very beautifully put, Brother Kareem. Thank you. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. And what we will be discussing, inshallah, tonight are actually 3 points. One of which, of course, was advertised on Facebook and other social media dealing with our pursuit of the instructions, of following the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he gave us at the closing of his Savior's Day address. How strong is the foundation? Can we survive? He instructed us, of course, to read and study Ezekiel, the 37th, which we have discussed on a few nights, few weeks. And also, he instructed us to read and study Surah 47, entitled Muhammad, but also entitled Qital, which means war. War. And I definitely want to get into that. The second point that we'd like to discuss with your help, brothers and sisters, is Job, particularly that scripture where in God ask Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? We want to discuss that. And thirdly, we also want to discuss the speciality and the exclusivity of the choice of God's man today, that we may understand that he chose one and one alone. There are others who come after the choice that are helpers to the one, inshallah, that he chose, but he only chose one. and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So let's begin. In the first chapter of Job, the 18th verse, we read. Give me a moment to find it. I had it marked off, but we'll find it. Give me 1 second. I hate it when these markers that I have fall out. That's my fault because I move around a lot. When I talk, I move books. I'm touching everything. Please,
well, why are you doing that, Brother James? Let me just say this right quick. I understand that some of you are having problems with the phones. I can't see my counter, so I can't say that the phone lines are full or not, but I am connecting to my Google chat. My Yahoo chat was up, but it's not anymore. So I'm in my Google chat, so those of you who are listening online and you can't get into the phone, hit me in the chat room if you have a question or a comment. Thank you, Brother James. Sorry for the interruption.
That's all right. Give me 1 second, please. Wow, I'm so very sorry. I got really sidetracked. I don't know how I lost this place. Job, the first chapter.
Should I start singing?
You can do that, sister. We hate to have this kind of dead air, you know, but it's not dead. But what, I have to apologize. I had it right there, and I lost it. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Brother Kareem, if you could help me out.
Yes, sir. You're talking about Job chapter 1, verse 8?
Yes. Yeah, that might be it, yeah. Uh-huh. 1 second. Right.
Okay.
Very
good.
I got it. Thank you very much. And I'm going to start actually from the 6th. Verse of the first chapter.
Sir.
Thank you, Brother Kareem. Boy.
No problem.
And it reads, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, I want to look at that word son. Son. Sons of God. And the word son is defined as, of course, a male child or person in relation to his, wow, I don't know what's happening with me today. Everything seems to be working against me. It is, brother. I'm telling you, my computer and everything else. Okay. A male child or person in relation to his parent, a male child or person adopted as a son, a person in the legal position of a son, any male descendant, a son-in-law, a person related as if by ties of sonship, a male person looked upon as the product or result of particular agencies, forces, influences. Now that's what I remember that one. A familiar term to address a man or boy from an older person and Ecclesiastic, etc. And here's one I'd also like you to make note of. The Son, the second person of the Trinity of Jesus Christ. Now, those of us who are Muslims and are listening, of course, we don't necessarily subscribe to the, in fact, we don't at all subscribe to the Trinitarian doctrine, say, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When we split up the God into three, we give power to him, then he shares the power with the Son, and then the Son shares it with the Holy Ghost. So they each get a third. In that concept, we certainly do not subscribe. However, if we look at it in the sense of three levels or three different instances of the manifestation of the power and presence of God. Perhaps we can get a better understanding of this verse that says the sons of God. And so the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan came also among them. Well, now you know Satan and the sons had to look alike, because the sons of God would never willingly and voluntarily, at least I hope they wouldn't, associate or hang out with Satan. So Satan obviously looked like one of them. And he probably fooled them all, with the exception of God himself. And then the Lord said unto Satan, he spied him, "Whence comest thou, Satan?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now, there's more to that particular verse that's left out in this particular rendition. When Satan explained to God what he was doing and from whence he was coming, it was also added, "Seeking who I can devour." The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that this means that if Satan had to look to find, to search to find, to seek to find someone that he could devour, it meant that he devoured everybody already, including the sons of God. So he had to look for someone he could devour. Then God asks him, "How have you considered my servant?" Servant, singular. "My servant, Job." And of course, Satan answered the Lord and said, I've been considering him all right, in a little modern translation. "But thou hast put a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and with his substance," and his substance rather, "is increased in the land." But Satan suggests, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in my power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." In other words, you can do whatsoever you want with him, but you cannot have his life. And Satan and God agreed. Well, this is an expression of the strength, the trying of God of a man that God makes to show Satan and others that what God makes, no one can unmake. Now, I'm going to refer to some statements that the minister made from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And please don't get mixed up. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told his family, "You don't love me like Farrakhan does." He said, "I have given you," talking to his family, "from his own loins, everything. And I have tried everything I know." Now, I want you to just consider this. Here is God's Christ, Messiah, who says, "I have tried everything I know." The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that when Musa came to teach the devil of the forgotten trickology, some of it he taught them, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knows it all. So he is a man who knows all the tricks. He said he's tried everything to turn the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan away from him, he said, and he has not turned. Now, in the concept of Satan trying Job, I don't want you to put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the place of Satan, but I want you to look at the context of these scriptural stories and references. Here now, God's man, his Christ, uses everything he knows to turn the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan away from him, yet he did not and he could not turn him. Why? It is because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not make the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. No. And the minister has related to us on many occasions the conversation he had with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wherein the Honorable Elijah, when he said, "The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I didn't make you, brother." And of course, the minister said, "Oh, the apostle, yes, you did. You made me." And he said, "No, I didn't, brother." And then he counters again. "Oh, yes, you did, dear apostle." And then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to say, "Who is the teacher here, me or you?" And, of course, the minister knew who the teacher was, so he said, "You, sir." He said, "Brother, I didn't make you. I gave you the same thing that I gave every minister, and only Allah could bless you with the ability to put the words together like you do." He said again, "I didn't make you, brother. Allah God made you for me." So here now in Job is a man, a servant of God, made by God. Here now is a servant of God made by God in the present tense, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so therefore what God makes, both in the prototypical picture we find in Job and also in the history of the minister and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, no one could unmake the man that God made. So I just want to draw that parallel. This is the Son of God. Oh, man. I don't want you to get upset with me, Muslims, but look at the definition of the word son. I'm taking a little time with this because I want to make sure that I'm as clear as I can, being as right as I can be. A male person looked upon as the product, meaning the result of particular agencies, forces, and influences. And so this Son of God, this man made by God, is the result or product of the agency and force of God and influence of God. And in the position of Son as it relates to the Trinitarian doctrine, he is a aspect of the manifestation of the power and presence of Almighty God himself. How do you know that God is present? I say look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's work. Look at his enemies in the midst of whom he has to do that work. The most powerful enemies that any man has ever had, yet with no army, no navy, no air force, no marines, no carnal weapons of destruction, they can't touch him. They can't stop him. They can't hinder him. They can't slow him up. They cannot discourage him. Why? Because it's not him. It is the power that backs him, that's in him, that he represents, that makes him invulnerable to any attack or weapon forged by any enemy of this world. So in that sense, he, in his person and presence, is a representation of the power, person, and presence of Almighty God, Allah, the Supreme Being. So in that sense, contextually, he is a Son of God. All right now. Now, we are all called children of God. And that's true. We are all called that. I mean, black people. However, in the scripture, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, if he's the only begotten, then what are we? Are we adopted? What are we? Are we false children? Because you don't beget a Son of God through physical agencies as such. You beget a Son of God by a spiritual and mental intercourse. The spiritual seminal seed of God, which is his mind, through his word, enters into the womb of the mind of a man. I want you to listen. The air, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us and teaches us, is the entryway of the womb of the mind. So the word that contains the Spirit of God enters into the man, into his mind, and there's a conception that takes place. It's called an immaculate conception in the sense that there is no interference from any carnal force or source. It's a perfect, perfect, immaculate conception, and through that conception, a Son of God is produced, a Son of his mind. This is what took place with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and this is what took place with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, to the point of exclusivity, and then I'm going to stop and Please forgive me, Brother Kareem. I'm going to allow you to come in and take as much time as you'd like to. On the point and principle of exclusivity, in the term his only begotten amongst many, many children of God, he's the only begotten of God. That means that when God makes this man, there are none that can take his place, none that can do what he does, and none that can get to God except they come through that man. I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. When the scripture says there's no other name under the heaven by which a man or woman could get to heaven except by the, or be saved except by the name of Jesus. And that's absolutely correct if you understand it correctly. Not Jesus the prophet, but Jesus the Christ and the Christ concept. All right now. Therefore, it is by him and by him alone that we shall be redeemed. Now, my Christian brothers and sisters, I know that you're listening. I don't want to offend you. That's not my intention. But it is my obligation to declare that the door to which you are referring when you read in Scripture, the door, the truth, the way, the light, the bread of heaven, all of that is wrapped up in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I must declare to all of you, whether you accept it or reject it, whether you hear or forbear, there's no other way by which you can be saved except by that one whom God has made the door. And that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so I thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. Thank you again, Brother Kareem. Thank you, Sister Queen Aziza. And now I want to turn it over to Brother Kareem. Dear brother, please have your say, whatever you'd like to say. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And first, thank you, brother. Thank you for what you have just shared with us, because this absolutely must be understood. I want to just talk on that, just what you just left off on first, when it talks about the door, the only way through. Now, those who may not be or who are not Muslim may or may not have heard the statement, but the statement is made among us, and we are told that Islam, and I'm not talking about a set of rituals, I'm not talking about a particular way of praying. When I say Islam in this context, I mean entire submission to the will of God. We are told that Islam comes after everything else fails. Not just after everything else, but after everything else fails. And anyone who is looking with an open eye, with an open mind, will have to bear witness that there is no one, say they are walking in the footsteps of our brother, of the minister, of the Messiah, that is capable or able to do what he does. No one since the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has challenged the powers that be worldwide and is still on the planet to talk about it. was some, if there is, show this individual to me, because I haven't seen them. Now, what you were referring to in the book of Job, if you notice, right where you read, the one thing that I noticed a lot of people will skip over, because I've heard the term. They say that, well, there's only one perfect man, and that was Jesus. You are correct. However, as my brother has been doing, you got to connect the dots, because look at the statement that God makes, or the question he asks Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, comma, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. So just from that statement alone, if you're trying to refer to the prophet, Jesus, as being the only perfect one, then that would be incorrect. But when we connect the dots and understand that each and every one of these scriptures, all of the stories that we have in the book or the books, they culminate in one individual, one person. I like that word you use, the exclusivity. Is that the word? Brother James.
Sir, Brother Kareem. Yes, sir.
Was that the word? I want to make sure I'm getting that right.
Yes, sir. You got it right, beloved.
Yes, because, and this is not a thing, and I want to be clear myself. This is not a thing or a situation of raising our brother, and that's why I'm using that term, that terminology now, because he himself has stated the greatest title any of us could have is brother. The greatest title any of us could have is Muslim. There's a reason that he says that. But like I'm saying, is it all culminates in this one individual. All the scriptures show us that. In the Quran, it often speaks of the fact that these things are a sign. When you look at the book of Job, and you look at Job, out of what made Job a perfect and upright man? Did it mean, or does it mean, that this individual doesn't have faults, that this individual doesn't make mistakes? No, that's not what it means. What it means is that irregardless of the individual's faults, irregardless of his mistakes, his focus is God and God alone and service to the God. That is the perfection. That is why the God himself can use the individual to accomplish that which he desires. It goes back to even during the time of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Anyone that knows the history knows, and those who don't, I will share it with you. See, there were many individuals in the ranks during the time that Master Farid Muhammad was physically among us. And when Master Farid Muhammad was preparing, knew when he was preparing and getting ready to leave, he asked of those in the mosque, he said, you picked your ministers. All of you picked the ministers. Do would you mind? See, this is how God behaves. He's showing you how we have to be. He said, would you mind if I pick? Now, you had individuals within the framework of the Nation of Islam at that time, or in the temple, as it was called, who were educated Negroes. You know, some doctors, some lawyers, and all of them had it in their mind that they were going to be the choice to lead when the God left, when Master Farid Muhammad left, or as he was referred to at that time, our prophet in Islam. See, it's not a coincidence. The stages of development, but the stages of development, not only talking about the individual growing, but our understanding of who the individual is. And when Master Farid Muhammad made his choice and told them to send him Kareem, which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at that time was Elijah Kareem, he sent for him. All of the quote-unquote educated ones were upset. They felt that they had been slighted. How could you possibly pick him over us? Well, then you had the same situation when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad sat the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his seat and made the now historic and famous statements where you see him, look at him. He said, continue to hear. He told us to continue to hear. That means don't stop listening to him regardless of what's going on. I'm very glad that you picked Job as, I will use the term, as the archetype to show the parallel. Another thing that I notice individuals don't do, if you notice, anytime Job went through a trial, a lot of people say, well, look at what Satan did to Job. Go read it, go study it. Satan, as you said earlier, brother, Satan, all he did was make suggestions, because ultimately Satan or the devil has no power to control us or to do anything to us. We're even told that in the Quran. Allah states to Satan when he talks about what he will do. Allah says, I will fill hell with you all, those who follow you, meaning those who take your suggestions and move out on them. But here among us, we have a brother. We have a man who has stood the test of time. Now, I was just looking at something a few minutes ago. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan first stood up in 1977. I remember, and I wish I could find it. I remember, as a matter of fact, one of the first talks he had, it was, I can't remember the name of the magazine right now. I think it was Focus. I think that was the name of the magazine, where they did an interview with the minister, and he talked about how he was going to rebuild the work of the Most Honorable Elijah. But now, if you look at those years from 1977 to 2014, it's 37 years. And in this, the 37th year, you see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan manifesting, actually walking the scripture, chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Take it or let it alone. It's not, again, it's not a coincidence. The point in time that we are at in our history and in our development is that we are either going to accept the truth that's in front of us, or we will cease to exist. It's not, I'm not making a threat. It's not that I'm a prophet or anything of that nature, but you can see it all around you. Can't you see that everything that brother says, everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, comes to pass? Now, in the past, quote unquote, it might have been real easy for you to doubt the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he would say things and then it seemed like that was so far off. But right now, today, everything the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, almost right after he comes, he can't get it out of his mouth before it's manifesting. So we are in the time. We are in the time. And he keeps saying to us, not that he's far be it. Not that he's striving to get us to worship him. He keeps saying to us like Jesus says in the Bible. It's in the book of John, if I'm not mistaken. I got my Bible right here. I believe it's in chapter 14. You know. Here it is. 1:40. It's in chapter 12. Jesus states, it starts verse 44. He says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now let's be clear. The world doesn't mean this world of debauchery. It means the world of righteousness, which is now outright threatened with murder by this world of unrighteousness. Let me find what I'm looking for here. Here it is. In chapter 14, starting in verse 11, it says Jesus states, because according to what they tell me, everything that's in red, these are the words of Jesus. See, right now, the 58-week lecture series, The Time and What Must Be Done, go back, study it, chew it up, tear it apart, and just let two Sundays ago and then this previous Sunday, and all the lectures and everything that the minister has been giving us, and see if these words, his words and his actions don't compare to these very words right here. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, I mean, this is what he's been saying. I'm talking to the believers now. This is what he's been saying to us. There was one particular meeting where the minister said to us, he said, those of you who worship me, he said, I feel sorry for you. So, and everything that he does as an example of where we should be, what we must be doing. However, we can't do what he does unless we have the mind that he has and the heart that he has. And like I've said before, when I say heart, I'm not talking about the pulmonary pump that sits in the chest, near center but more to the left. I am speaking of heart in the sense of the center of the being, the center of one's thinking, the center of one's activity. See, people can say what they want to about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And yes, I'll say it about the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They can say what they desire to. But see, I know personally. I haven't gotten into it before, but I know personally what he's done for me personally. And don't have nothing to do with no money. Allah made sure, the God made sure he was there at strategic moments in my life, that if it were not for him, I would not be alive. I'm talking about physically alive now. I would not be here to even be of any service. I remember at the lowest times in my life, I would write to the minister, and the minister wrote me back with specific instructions, which literally guided me and saved my life. The one and only time that I got a chance to talk to him briefly in person, he gave me instructions which, through no fault of his, but through my own rebellion, I am really just now beginning to carry out. And even at this late date, by carrying out the instructions he gave me, I am seeing blessing upon blessing upon blessing. The greatest blessing being peace of mind. I can rest at night because I know I'm on my job. I'm doing my duty. Can you say the same? I have no issues. As far as, yes, I struggle to pay the bills, but I have no issues getting them paid because, like clockwork, like mathematics, when the funds are needed, Allah ensures that I am able to produce the funds. It don't drop out the sky. He allows me to be able to produce the funds. That's just the simplest of things. See, I was there. I was around during the time. See, individuals forget this. See, in the beginning, there was no final call building, much less a mosque, Miriam. There was no final call building. Who mortgaged their home to produce that? All the naysayers, all those who want to be those who, as it says in the Quran, who wrong themselves, or who want to be those who take a middle course as opposed to being the foremost. We want to say we're with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We don't need to say it. And believe me, I appreciate everyone who gets online, everyone who talks to the various people or takes on the detractors in defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But I've said it before and I will say it again. The best defense of our brother, of our minister, of the Messiah, of Jesus, the best defense of him is to do what he says do. He has been, and still is, has been so kind, taking the time to break everything down to its lowest common denominator. See, those of you who weren't around during the time of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he didn't go into a whole bunch of deep explanations with you. He gave you instructions and told you point blank, take it or let it alone. We short on time, and that was then. Now, how short do you think we are on time, yet the minister still is merciful enough to sit down and produce books like all the study guides? Then take the messenger's books and sit down and break those down for us when all we really have to do is study and apply. Then he gives us the restrictive law is our success. He sat down, like I've said, he's taking it like a mother bird, and he done chewed it up and pre-digested it for us and now feeding it to us like little, and then now we done got big and fat off of it and refused to get out the nest. Can't even lay no more eggs and produce no more baby birds to go fly because we refuse to get out the nest and go take care of business. It's ridiculous. So I'm just going to leave it at that. The bottom line is that what you hear shared on this program, on Nation Building Movement, and everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been sharing with us, he is striving to save our lives. We must hear and then obey. Time out. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Kareem. A wonderful, wonderful testimony. And to our listening audience, thank you for your patience with us. We have to get what is in our hearts out. And I certainly wanted my brother to have a chance as I'd taken the chance. And so now, if you're still with us, and I hope you are, we want to take the next 45 minutes or so to allow you to join this discussion, make your testimony, ask your questions, make your comments. However you are moved, we invite you to participate. So, Brother Kareem and Queen Aziza, are there any that indicate that they might want to join us in this discussion?
Yeah, the chat room has been going crazy.
Okay, I'm sure.
Let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are on the phone, we want to hear from you. It's a bunch of y'all sitting out there. I can't see my counter, but I know it's a bunch of y'all out there because y'all made me call out y'all numbers. But press one on your dial pad if you have a question or a comment. And we're going to start out with Brother 0029. That's his screen name. And he says, we as Muslims are catching hell also. What about us that strive each day? It brings a new meaning to Allah chooses whom he pleases. Everyone must be tried. But I don't understand how the good are being judged so harshly.
Now that's an excellent question. Excellent question. And when Jesus was sharing with the apostles, Peter in particular, of what he had to endure in his life, Peter got upset and said, well, why would you have to endure that? You're a good man. You're a righteous man. And the response of Jesus was, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he was talking to Peter. And all Peter was doing, so it seemed, was he was just unaccepting of the reality that his Lord or his master had to go through this with all the good, after all the good that he had done. Well, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because it is Satan that suggests that we should not have to suffer because of the good that we do. He's trying to break down our resolve and begin to question God. God, why are you putting me through this when you know I'm striving to do your will? You know I love your people. You know I love your servant. I'm doing the best that I can. Why should I have to suffer? See, in that question is the initiating of the process of breaking down our faith. That's Satan's job. To make us look at God and question him and begin to doubt him and begin to think that he's being unjust. The suffering that the righteous have to go through, dear brother, is the same suffering that the Christians, according to the history, had to go through in their declaration of Jesus Christ being the Son of God and the King of a new world order, while the Romans fed him to the lions. Now, Jesus said, they're not going to receive you because they didn't receive me. They're going to hate you because they hated me. And then he said to Karma, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, he said. It's one thing to tolerate it, okay, I'll tolerate it, but to rejoice, God, to be happy about it? He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, not just glad, but exceedingly glad. He said, for great is your reward in heaven, for so did they, the prophets, before you and me. So we have to walk this path. Remember when the man approached Jesus and said, Master, how do I obtain the kingdom? He said, do the law. And the man somewhat arrogantly responded, well, I'm doing that. I'm following the restrictive law, to bring it up to a modern expression. He said, good. Now, I want you to go home, sell all of your possessions, and then give the money to the poor. He said, pick up your cross, not mine. I'm carrying mine. I'm handling mine. He said, but you pick up your cross and follow me. Well, there's no record in the scriptures or any place else that Jesus ever saw that man again. But look at what the Jesus says, or at least what is put in the mouth of Jesus. First, he said, sacrifice all that you have. And the fruit of your sacrifice, don't look to benefit from it, meaning don't look to benefit from the monies you receive by selling all of your possessions. He said, give it all to the poor, meaning leave yourself nothing, not even the seeming reward of your sacrifice. Let others benefit from that. Then he said, pick up your cross, not mine. You pick up your cross and follow me. And in another place in the scripture, dear brother, he said, come follow me so that where I am, you can be also. Not where I am in some place in sky, in some physical location, but where I am is at the right hand of the Father. I'm the executor of the will of the Father. So when the Father thinks it, I execute it. Therefore, I am the Father in my person. When they asked him, again in Scripture, Master, when will we see God? He said, I have been among you all these days, and you have yet to see God. When you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father am one. And so we're not going to be one with God and become a manifestation of God in our person, except we go by the way God brings those to make himself or make them up into himself, which is suffering. It's not easy. And even though the words seem to flow easy off my tongue, dear brother, I feel you. And you're not alone in your thinking. However, keep the faith, as they say. You can't escape it. We're going to suffer. But the fruit of our suffering is to become one with him. And that's our goal given to us in the Quran. Man is ever struggling, striving to meet with God. And then Allah says in the Quran, he will meet him. It doesn't mean a sit-down meeting. How you doing, God? I've been struggling and striving all this time to meet you. I'm finally glad to meet you. Here's my hand. How you doing? I'm Brother James Muhammad. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It could mean it. It could be. But what it means is, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is that our minds become one with his mind, and we meet. And there in that meeting is a transfiguration where God comes over our person and we die. I think this is what it means with you can't see God until you die, and if you see him, you're going to die. It means the old you has to die, excuse me, so that the new you, that is God in the person, can be made alive. So, my dear brother, you're going to be all right. There's nothing wrong with your question. I say stay the course, dear brother. Yes, it's going to be difficult. No question about it. But Allah says in the Quran, man is made to face difficulty. And to face something means you don't run from it. You don't try to escape it, but you face it. And in the facing of it, you overcome it. And Allah says in the Quran, Fa'in me usre usra. After difficulty comes ease. With difficulty, there is ease. But you can't, we can't get to the ease without going through the difficulty. Thank you for your question, dear brother, and may Allah continue to bless you as you strive to be a righteous servant of God and a helper to his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Okay. I think Blog Talk is working on the phone, so let me just remind the listening audience, if you have a question or a comment, press 1 on your dial pad. Otherwise, just keep typing, and I'll get to your question as soon as possible. Okay. I really think you answered this question, Brother James, but, you know, just for the sake of clarity, this person, anonymous, wants to know, people say that God, the Creator, is in all these men, Jesus of 2,000 years ago, the Mahdi, the messenger, the minister. Why all of the transformation, one God? Woo.
You mean, let me try to understand the question. Does the questioner mean, why are all these different manifestations necessary? Why does God have to make himself manifest in all these different manifestations at different times?
That's what I would take it as being, sir. He says, why all the transformations from one God?
Because he's on a journey towards perfection. Now, I know that's going to open up the door to a lot of different questions. But the first God, so teaches the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, had the potential for perfection, but he had to get there. So he created a universe with a wobble in it. And out of that wobble, that universe with a wobble in it, came us. And one of the clearest signs that we're imperfect is that we can't freehand draw a perfect circle, because we've got a wobble in our nature. We rise up, we try to be good, and then we fall. Why? Because in the first God was the nature of both good and evil. Now listen, we say that God created everything. Well, then you can't exclude the devil.
Come on.
Well, where did it come from? It had to come from him, since he's the only one around. Now, the devil and evil in the nature of God was not under control. It was under his control, and he used it just like you would use weights in a gymnasium. You go to a gym, you want to build muscles, well, you've got to have opposition. That opposition is found in the weights. Now, you can look at the weights, try the weights, and say, oh, heck, these are too heavy, and walk away from the weights and the gym, but I guarantee you, you won't build the muscle. You cannot build yourself into anything, especially perfection, without opposition. Opposition is not the enemy. Opposition is the agent of your growth and development to perfection. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, how do you determine the strength of something? Well, you can't determine the strength of anything if you don't put pressure on it. He himself said that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him in a way of explaining what he was putting him through. Brother, when you're getting ready to choose a board to hold up the building, you've got to put pressure on the board to make sure it can hold the building. And if that board breaks, then you know that's not the right board. You need to throw that away and get another board. Well, the God who desired perfection, he did. That was his desire. This is where you get all the sixes. He created the universe in six periods, according to the Quran, in 6 days. Look now, according to the Bible, he created the heavens and the earth. That number six represents imperfection and incompletion and dissatisfaction. Then the scripture says, on the seventh day, he rests. Well, what does that mean? He rested. Well, seven is the number of God. And it's the number of completion. We are all under the number six. The scripture says, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Why? Because the man is made under six. He's incomplete. And the beast also is the incomplete stages of the man on his way to becoming man and ultimately God. So, the first God, desiring perfection, was incomplete. And in these manifestations, there were different levels towards completion. And that's why you have so many different manifestations. That's one of the reasons, and there are others. But I want you to think about it. Question what I shared with you. Piece it apart. Research it yourself. The way we grow, as I conclude my response, look at how we grow. There is conception, the fertilization of the egg by the seminal fluid, the sperm. Then the egg grows into what? A zygote, I think, is the next stage. And please correct me. I'm not necessarily an expert on this.
That's it.
Then it grows into a fetus. Look at these stages now, growth and development. Why do you think they happen? It is to teach you that the goal of the human being, not only in physical growth, but in spiritual growth, intellectual and mental growth, comes in stages and different manifestations. Each level is a move towards a progression into ultimately becoming what it ultimately will become. We go through that because God went through that. On both levels, physically and spiritually. So I'll close my answer. I want to thank you for allowing me that response. Assalamu alaikum.
And Brother James, if you don't mind, I want to give that person some clarity because they, at some point, they say they didn't understand as it relates to the messenger and the minister and Master Farah Muhammad. So let me put it like this, if you don't mind.
No, ma'am.
You have to realize that when Master Farah Muhammad came and found the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there was a message or a teaching that had to go forth to a particular people in a particular time and in a particular position. You have to realize that the mindset of the black man and woman at that time was one that is lower than humanity itself. You're talking about a people then shaped and formed by their slave masters. And so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and talked to them to give them first the knowledge of self. And it was him being one from among us, him being one that has lived in the same condition and had the same mindset at a particular time as all of us, was raised up to teach our people the knowledge of self. You can't teach God to an ignorant people. You can't teach the truth of God to an ignorant people that have been lied to for 400 years. So now here comes a teaching that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to give us over a period of time, a period of decades. Because if you remember, like I said before, historically, black people could not even call themselves black people. You didn't have Arabic names back in the 1920s and the 1930s. You couldn't name your children Jamal and Jamil and Abdul. You couldn't do that. You couldn't walk around with your head covered, and you couldn't walk around with your chest stuck out and say that you was a soldier for God or even a soldier for Jesus. Always had to be in a submissive state to the white man, and it wasn't until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came and told you that you were a black man and told you that you were a king and told you that you were a queen. And now come up through the 50s and 60s and 70s, now they don't necessarily look you in your face and call you nigga. They don't abuse you. They can call you Mr. Johnson or Mr. Jones, or they can say Miss or Mrs. to you, and not boy and not gal and not Negro and Negra and nigga. So you have to understand that the only way that that happened, not because white folks woke up one day and decided to be nice to us, but it was because we obtained the knowledge of self. So even when you look back through the history of black people coming into an evolution, whether they admit it or not, they could not have evolved to that degree until they heard the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because the preachers in the churches were not preaching that. The preachers in the churches were preaching you to go home and turn the other cheek and stay on your knees and you'll get heaven in the sky when you die. That's what they were teaching. They were teaching them to bow and submit so you can stay out of trouble, so you can stay out of jail. But they were not teaching you as a people to stand. You first have to have the knowledge of self. You first have to have the love of self before you can even understand what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan today in our midst is teaching us. So, yes, there was a continuation of the teaching after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But first, the dead man had to be resurrected from the grave of his mind. And once he was resurrected from that grave of his mind, and once that dust and that dirt of 400-plus years of oppression was washed off, now there's an avenue for the truth to get into the mind of a who were originally chosen by God, who are the people of God, who have been led astray. So in that transformation, brother, since he expounded further and those were the things he was talking about, that is the purpose of the transformations, as you called it, over a period of time. Because knowledge and faith and understanding happens in degrees. And so that's why you had the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who was not necessarily known for his articulation. He wasn't known to be a glamorous speaker, but he made the truth plain. Why? Because for an uneducated black person, could even understand the truth of God and the truth of self. And it is that teaching that allowed us to stand and be proud to be black. And black was not disgusting, and black was beautiful. And everything that came forward for black people in a positive direction was rooted in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because nobody did it before him. And so that is the reason, brother. So now we have scholars and doctors and scientists, and we have all these people. And then we have one who did not even receive a college degree, but he has supreme wisdom, and he's elegant in his speech. So therefore, those people who consider themselves scholars look at him, respect him, hear him, and listen to him, and take heed from him. That is the purpose of the transformations. I just wanted to explain that. Thank you, Brother Jay.
You're very welcome, dear sister, and thank you for your explanation. I hope between us, you know, we satisfied our brother's question.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have another question from Lima. She said, I don't understand how we are expected to be perfect. Everything is corrupt. All of the preachers are crooked. You have imams who are having sex outside their two or three wives. Who can we trust in these dreadful days? Oh, my. Okay.
Well, Brother Kareem, you want to address that, brother?
Wow.
I will answer that question plainly and simply. First and foremost, we must trust, have faith in Allah first. First. See, with Allah in front of us, then we have the light to show us, based upon individuals' actions, who to trust and who not to trust. Now, when you say, how can we be perfect? Well, it comes to understanding what perfect is. See, this society, and I know even the dictionary would say it, but if you get into the word, I want you to go look the word perfect up and get into what's called the philology of the word, meaning the root of it, where it comes from and what it at its root what it means. But in this society and in this world, we have been led to believe that to be perfect means to be completely flawless. And that's not necessarily the case, because, for example, in the Bible, Jesus makes this statement according to the Bible. He says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So if we didn't have the potential for perfection, then why would one of the prophets of God, why would one of the messengers of God give us an instruction like that? So to be perfect, and I'm going to say it like this in this context, at the root of what true perfection means, to be perfect means that regardless of whom or what, regardless of whatever circumstance, regardless of the wrong or the ills or the wickedness that we see others doing, particularly those who are supposed to be in positions to lead and show us the way to go, regardless of what we see them do, follow that. We have the instructions. We have the law. We have what Allah has told us in the Quran, and on top of that, we have within ourselves what's called the self-accusing spirit, meaning the mind of Almighty God, Allah himself, in us. It will tell us not when we do something wrong, but when we have the thought to even attempt to do something wrong, we automatically know ahead of time. So we don't do it. It's that simple. Now, I understand about temptation. I understand about, however, I'm listening to, and for you to even ask the question, which is a wonderful question, for you to even ask that question bespeaks of the type of conscious and consciousness that you have. You really answered your own question. When you see these individuals out of law, then you know not to take them as an example. You know it's wrong. You know not to take that as an example. Because anything they say to you is going to be tainted by the taint that's on their character. That's why I go back to what I said in the beginning. You trust Allah first. He has given us the scriptures. And he has also given us individuals in front of us who are examples. And when we are walking in the way that Allah would have us go, when we are practicing the Sharia, the law that Allah has given us in Quran, I'm not even going to touch the restrictive law, just what he gives us in the Quran, the Sharia, if we follow those instructions 100% to the best of our ability, doesn't mean, as I say about the perfection, perfection or to be perfect in this sense means steadily growing and developing toward perfection. Also, some spiritual principles are very, very difficult to explain in English. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So, again, trust in Allah. Study Quran and practice the Quran. You are a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or just a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You study his teachings and everything he gave us, and you strive each and every day, each second of the day, to practice what we have been given. And it won't be a question on how to remain or to strive for righteousness and to stay away from the kafirun, the hypocrite. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Kareem. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Brother James, are you going to add anything to that?
No, I certainly am not. Not at this time.
Okay. And we have a question from DJM. He said, what about the hard-headed woman? I have tried to get her back in the fold, but she refuses because of a disagreement with her captain. I'm about to leave her because I am at the end of my rope. I don't want to abandon my marriage, but I feel she has abandoned me. Okay. Wow.
Well, Sister Queen, you wanna respond to that question?
Sure. Let me just say this to you, brother. The most dangerous thing that you can do to a person is break their spirit. That is murdering someone. And I'm not going to get into the particulars, but the minister has always reminded us periodically about the proper handling of people. And the reason why that is so significant and so important is that you do not want to break the spirit of someone who is striving in the way of Allah. And when we have mosques and study groups, sometimes that is our only connection in the environment in which we live that draws us closer to Allah. Now, I don't know about the dispute between her and her captain or what it was in particularly, but we have been instructed to atone for all of our differences. And if it is such that the sister has allowed this situation to keep her from the mosque, then she needs to attempt that atonement process with her captain. But you, I would just suggest that you tell her she gives no one that much power over her. No one is going to stop me from serving. I don't care how much beef I may have with you. And so it's really about her service. It's about her dedication. It's not about any differences that she has with anyone. It's about her living the life and doing what is pleasing to Allah.
That's
as far as you are concerned, brother, all I ask of you is that even though you may be impatient, and I don't mean to offend you when I say this, but you have to be that example. And it's very hard for you to be that example when you become disgusted with her for not going to the mosque, because that entity of mosque or that entity of Islam is really supposed to be in the home anyway. And by you being the head, then you have the ability to remind her beautiful Islam is and how much love she has for Islam. She has to be able to see that in you. When she is down, you're supposed to lift her up and vice versa. That's the whole purpose of us being married, is to serve as a reminder to one another when one is weak, that, you know, we serve as that light, as that example. You can't force her, but you can always encourage her. You can always tell her that you support her, and that, say, and I'm just saying for instances, we don't know, if the captain was in error and she feels wronged, then be bigger than that and go back to her sister captain and say, whatever I did, whatever I said to offend you, you know, let us atone, let us squash this, and let us be sisters, and let us work to help our minister in this cause. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's not about a personal relationship that you have with people in the mosque. It's not about big eyes and little U's. It's about us being servants for Allah. That's all it's about. That's all it's ever been about. And you, as her husband, should be encouraging, not to say that you haven't, but you should be encouraging her. And that entity of the mosque that is so beautiful is to have her husband come home and she sees the God in him and not the disgust that you have with her. So be loving, be attentive, understand it, and be supportive. And I promise you, as your sister, that she'll go back to the mosque. Just tell her what I said. Assalamu alaikum. That's all I got to say.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Queen Aziza. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for your response to that question.
Yes, sir. And you know what, Brother James? If you don't mind, we got 5 minutes. But that's a very serious issue. Do you mind if I ask someone else to answer that question as well?
Sure. Yes. No. No, ma'am. I don't mind at all.
Okay. I know he's going to hurt me bad. Student Minister Stanley Muhammad.
Oh. All praises due to Allah. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, soldier.
Alaikum salam.
Oh my God! Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. It's so good to.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum. So good to hear the wonderful spiritual guidance coming from our beloved brother James Muhammad.
our student minister, and our student minister, Brother Kareem, and our sister student minister, Sister Queen Aziza.
Oh, wow.
My soul is being watered by the wonderful guidance from the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Ms. Farrakhan, being conveyed on these airways. But I would say to my brother that when you think about Jesus on the cross, where were those male disciples except John that said that they followed him and that they were his student and he was a teacher? They were nowhere around. But it was the women that were there for Jesus in his dark hour.
That's right.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gives us a wonderful exegesis of Jesus at the cross and that one man, John, at the cross with Jesus and who John represents. John represents thousands of believers growing up in faith outside of the mosque. And they're not ill affected by the hypocrisy inside the mosque.
Come on.
See, you got to understand that your wife, she's not necessarily wrong for the way she feels. But like Sister Queen Aziza said to you, brother, we as men have to be the moral authority in our home.
That's
for
right.
Our women to respect our divine guidance. They're not going to respect us if they don't see us being the moral authority. The nature of a woman is to equal herself up to God. And if you are striving to be like God in your home, wherever you go, your wife will follow you.
Come on.
I've been married for 24 years, come April 22nd, with nine children. God bless me. And yesterday my daughter gave birth to another grandson, so four grandchildren.
All praises due to Allah. Is that Bashira, brother?
She's kicking him out like her mama.
I know, brother. All praises due to Allah.
So she's following her mother's footsteps for sure. But my point to my brother is that my wife, she don't mind leaving Atlanta when I was 19 years old and go down to Tampa to be the captain. See, Brother James knows. I picked up my family, and I went to Tampa, and it was faith that works by love, as the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says. But my wife, she never was away from her mother before. She's always been close to her mother, attached to her mother, and it was a big trial for her, but she loved her husband. And she followed me to Tampa, and she supported me. Brother James saw her wonderful support of her husband through ups and downs, good times, bad times. But you know why my wife supported me? Because what I preach on the outside of the house and practice, I was the same man behind closed doors, brother. The nature of a woman is to equal herself up to God. If we reflect the light of God, that woman can't resist light. See? No, brother, it's your job and my job to make that mosque what it's supposed to be for our women and children. You sit down with that student minister. You sit down with that student, a brother captain, and all the labor sister student captain, and express to them that this atmosphere of injustice, if that's what it is, is killing the spirit of the believers. The believers should be able to inhale freedom, justice, and equality in the mosque. If they get the same thing in the mosque as they get in the world, you can't blame them for not wanting to be in an environment that doesn't make them happy. But if that environment does not make her happy, she should at least be happy being in your presence. David, as long as you're going to the mosque, I'm going. That's the spirit. So it's I think, brother, just from experience, his understanding, it might be something else going on here. See, if she's active in the mosque and then she has a fallout with a sister student captain, those people in the authority can make it real rough for a believer sometimes. It can make it real rough. The minister talked about those who, let me just close with this. The minister was one day going to the movies in Chicago with his wife, Mother Khadija. And some sisters who fell out the ranks saw the minister. And the minister greeted them, and they began to say, "Brother Minister, we love you, but we're not going back there until those in authority learn how to treat people." The minister never told them sisters they were wrong. The minister told them that he loves them, and he's going to go back to the mosque and correct that problem. And he pleaded to them, once he does that, will they come back and help him? And they said, "We will do anything for you." So we have to be like the minister. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said throughout the time, said, "Wherever he say go, you go."
That's right.
Wherever he say stay from, you stay from. When you see him, look at him. See? I say continue, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, to hear my minister Farrakhan. So we have to be like him, brother. If you are the leader of your home and I'm the leader of my home, if there's any problem in the home, the minister said, don't check the body, check the head. It's always the head's fault. It's not the woman's fault. I don't blame women for the condition of a home. You blame the man. You the leader. So how do we lead? We lead by example. How do we teach? We teach by example.
That's right.
There's love never fails. Love never fails. If you love your wife, you can overcome that impediment that's in your wife. If you love her. So I'm really passionate about this because we as FOI got to take more responsibility for the condition of our woman, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, there's no such thing as a no good woman. There's no such thing. Every woman is no good. She was made that way by a no good man. So if you want to
And Brother Stanley, if you don't mind, I want to say something because the brother name is DJM. He's using his initials. And he just told me, he said that the problem is that when I mention to her about going to the mosque or say anything about the teachings, her reply to me is that she doesn't want to hear any of it. Okay, hold on. That's why I feel abandoned. She has abandoned the teachings, which are a great part of me. For her to abandon these teachings is for her to abandon me.
But see, Sister Queen, you know what? The thing the brother DJ has to understand is that we have a general orders in the Nation of Islam to take charge of this post in the altar of property and view. Your wife is your post.
Come on.
How all of a sudden find out your wife now don't love the teachings? She just pop up and say, no. See, when a person gets like that, it is like it's a process of death. Death is a process. A person just don't just die. It's a sickness that gets in the body. Then it overpowers the immune system. Then even when the person dies, it takes time for rigor mortis to set in. So when did you discover your wife's pattern changing? See? Because sometimes our attention is somewhere else and we stop loving our wife. We stop paying attention to her needs. A man is a maintainer of a woman. Spiritual maintenance is your responsibility. Mental maintenance is your responsibility. Sometimes we're so selfish as men, we're into ourselves, we forget about our wife's pain. Sometimes just taking a walk during a beautiful evening, holding her hand. Tell her how much you love her. How beautiful she is. How much you appreciate her. That's Islam. The family is the essence of our mission. Strong families make a strong nation. That problem don't begin in the mosque, it began at home. And we as brothers have to take responsibility for the condition of our women. And no nation can rise no higher than this woman. If you love our nation, find out what caused her to die in spirit. And whatever died can be resurrected, long as the resurrector is in your heart. It's easy to throw away. Maybe with you fall short. If I fall short, maybe God might throw us away. Wouldn't you want him to come after you? As he did come after us. Well, if God be in us, then we will go after that which we love. What were we when Master Farah Muhammad came? We were pimps, we were hustlers, we were drug addicts. But he still said, Elijah, I love them. When he came in England, as the C1 said, he called all 17 million Muslims while we were living the life of a savage. He said, is there any Muslim other than righteous? He said, I beg your pardon. I never heard of one. God came to pardon us of our sins. It's a process to come back to ourselves. Don't be so quick to give up on the people that God loves. That woman you want to give up on, God came 9,000 miles to save. That's your wife, brother. For better or for worse. For richer or for poorer. To death do you part. Because a man that will give up on marriage, I'm going to tell you, he will give up on God. Something happened to your wife. She got an ingram that needs to be removed. And you got to love her. Because love is not seen when everything's going right. Hell, you can love anybody, everything going all right. You can love a person like that. But love is really seen when things are not going too well. How strong is your foundation of your love? Can it survive? See, the gates of hell now is trying your marriage. You a soldier? You going to let Satan win, but you a soldier? There's nothing impossible. I close on this. There's nothing impossible, brother. Allah destroyed the impossibility the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us when he created himself. He said, whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. Do you see your wife happy again as an MGT? Do you see your wife bearing witness as no God but Allah who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad? And the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ, and the Honorable Mistress Farrakhan is the Vicar of Christ. Can you see her back in the Holy Spirit of God? If you can conceive it, you can achieve it, brother. You got to stop believing in her again, like someone believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. Hello, somebody. All of us have had a point where we did not believe in ourselves, but it took someone to believe in us. I was on alcohol. Girlfriend pregnant, no job. Living with my brother, didn't want me there. Nobody believed in me. But a man named Farrakhan believed in me, brother. And because he believed in me, I put down the alcohol. I took that girlfriend who was pregnant, and I took her to the altar. I got a good job when I started doing right. God gave me a good job. He took a bum, a wretch like me, brother, and raised me to a point that not only did he believe in me, Farrakhan, but I began to believe in myself again. And I look back and I thank Allah for that man. And all of us need somebody, Brother DJ, to believe in us when we lost belief and faith in ourselves. Love your wife. Sit down with a good spiritual counselor. It will help you through the difficult time. But there's no better counselor than you when you love her. What about Farrakhan when he fell? Didn't Allah love him so much he sent Brother Jibril after him? Did Brother Jibril say, you a hypocrite, you so terrible, you bad, look, you turn on the messenger? He didn't do that. He was gentle with Farrakhan. You go to your wife like Jibril went to Farrakhan. And if there was no Jibril who loved Farrakhan, wouldn't believe in Farrakhan, when Farrakhan did not believe in himself, where would you be? Where would I be? So remember that, brother. Don't be hypocritical and be self-righteous. Now you are up and your wife is down. You're on the mountain. She's in the valley. It's your job, my job, to go in the valley and get the one in the valley and take him on the mountain with us. No nation can rise, brother, any higher than this woman. Thank you for allowing me to share this as a queen. Pardon my passion. I want to see that marriage work.
Yes. I agree with Brother James. I don't think we could have had anybody else better to address that. So thank you, Brother Stanley.
Yeah.
Okay, Brother James.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
Dear brother, first of all, let me, and I always say that my brother, whom I've known for, man, going on now, what, 27 years, Brother Stanley?
Yes, sir.
Something like that? Brother, I've always said that my brother has always been exemplary as a father and as a husband and as a brother and one of the finest captains I have been blessed to work with in my sojourn in the ministry.
Praise
I thank Allah for you, dear brother. So thank you for addressing our brother's question.
Thank you, sir.
Giving that wonderful counsel. And please give my love and greetings to my family over there in Atlanta, brother. My beautiful sister Ruth, my beautiful son, Mustafa and Tariq, and brother, I just cannot remember all of your daughters' names. And if they're listening, please forgive me.
Yes, that's okay. Yes, sir.
Congratulations to Bashira. All praises due to Allah.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And send me some pictures.
I sure will, sir.
Can you tell us what the baby's name is?
His first name is Barik, and Aziz is his middle name, Muhammad.
Hey, all right, he got part of my name. Yes.
I'm in power.
I'm praying for Stutella. Yes. Hey,
you know
I'm
what?
Proud.
You know what? When my daughter was... Now, when my daughter was in, you know, and she was, the baby is about to come out. I had to step out, you know, for decency reasons. But I was outside that door. She was screaming so loud that I felt it in my soul. You know what came to my mind, Sister Queen?
What?
The messages, every man should be at the delivery of their child, that the labor, and see the labor that their wife goes through. And you
That's
know,
right.
Mm-hmm. So we can appreciate that woman more. Because that woman died for us to give us life. And the man, his labor is to take care of that woman and take care of that child. And when she makes him upset, you know what he got to do? He has to remember that labor cry. And he'll appreciate her more. See, the man, why a man can appreciate a woman, that cry is no longer in his ear. He takes her for granted. So that black man got to keep the cry, that labor cry of his wife, in his ear for him to continue to appreciate what she has done for him. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to say that.
Yes, sir. As long as he stays with us, because I remember my husband, I woke up and he was in the hospital because he fainted and hit his head and he got 4 stitches.
Wow.
Yeah, he fainted. He was good. They told him, he said, "You got a girl." No, they told him, "You have a boy." He said, "Oh, I got a son, another son." And then they say, "And a girl." And he fell, and he hit his head at the end of a table. And when I woke up, he was in the hospital.
Wow. You just got to be more.
That's right. He wasn't ready for those twins. I told him he didn't believe me, but okay. All right. That's how it happened. So thank you all so much, Brother Kareem. So much wonderful, wonderful teaching from you tonight, dear brother. Student Minister James, bringing it like always. I think there's a problem with the phones, but we still have about 117 questions in the chat room, and I will get to them tonight. Word is bond, because we have another show tomorrow, and I know I'm going to be up all night with that one. So thank you all so very much. Tomorrow, join us right back here for Young Gifted in Black at 8 o'clock. We're doing a special presentation for Sister Yatira and Brother Frank Hudson, who are about to embark on marriage themselves this coming April. And, of course, Student Minister Stanley and his wonderful queen, Sister Ruth, are going to join us, and they're going to be giving profound marital advice of things that we should do prior to courtship, during courtship, leading up to engagement in our marriage. And so this is how we're going to build a strong nation. And a family is the foundation of a nation, and that's what we need to work on. And so later on, we're going to be embarking on some other areas and situations that are occurring in our marriages and in our relationships, and just to empower and strengthen us. So join us tomorrow, 8 p.m. on Young, Gifted, and Black for that. And we're out of time, so I'm not going to do the rundown, but you know that we're here 7 days a week, and we'll always be here as long as Allah permits. So thank you all so very much, all of you in the chat room, all of you on the phones. We leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Walaikum salam.